All right, I'm sitting up here in the Venetian at the 2018 SHOT Show. I have John Pinch and Rob Lancelotti. John's a shooter for Collis Optics. Swarovski. And Rob, his part-time job is optics for Swarovski, and his full-time job is working in the mob.
It is. But the name, you're not supposed to say that on the podcast,
Rob Lancelotti. Don't cross him. Rob, how long?
There's actually no such thing.
Oh, that's what, of course, a mob guy would say.
He's winking right now.
How long you worked for Swarovski?
A little over 12 years.
Yeah. So you just started.
Yeah.
So you're one of the first employees. When did they actually come to North America?
In the 80s.
In the 80s?
Really strong, yeah. Where they really started to bring optics in.
You're 12 years strong, and I like your story because you kind of started at the very bottom rung, correct?
Yeah, well, I'm sure the customer service folks wouldn't want me to refer to them as the
bottom. Well, I mean, you weren't the janitor. I'm not saying you're the janitor, but I'm saying you didn't come in at the top of the heap.
No, I didn't. I started in customer service. It was the only job that was available at the time, and I really, really wanted to work there. So,
so you came in, you worked customer service, and I always mess up your title, but you're in public relations is your title now?
Public relations, yeah. The title now is Senior Media Relations Specialist.
Senior Media Relations Specialist. And what does that job entail?
Putting up with people.
I wear many hats, and putting up with John is definitely one of them.
That's one of them. He does a good job, too.
So you have, not only do you have the Swarovski, apparently I say Swarovski wrong, so I got to say Swarovski.
There you go.
Slap.
So, not only do you do that for Swarovski, you also run the, how do you say it again, John?
Collis
side of the house for their team, Team Collis.
Yeah, the sponsored shooters and match sponsorships.
Mm-hmm. So, just running optics on the hunting side, birding side wasn't enough. That you wanted one more job.
Yeah.
You wasn't busy enough.
I had a little spare time.
A little spare time.
80 hours a week wasn't quite enough.
So, John, you are a sponsored shooter from them. You shoot NRL and PRS.
Yep. Yeah, the two leagues, the two main leagues that are, you know, steel, long-range steel type of competitions.
Well, I think the question we got to ask, are you any good?
Not this year. I'm all right. I shoot a lot. I train a lot. I had a couple week finishes at some finales, but I held on to some decent positions.
I just have to say it one time. I don't know where we were, and John and I were together, and somebody said, you know, like, John, how much do you shoot? And he says, well, I like to shoot at least once a day.
Everybody loves shooting once a day, John.
Yeah.
So John's humble. He ain't going to tell you. John is probably, but Rob can back me up. John is probably one of the best shooters in the world. Would you?
Yeah, he is. John's an awesome shooter. Yeah.
John, you shoot every day almost in your backyard. You can shoot right from your house, correct?
Yeah, just a little four-wheeler. Grab the four-wheeler from the shop and run up the hill. And I can shoot out to 600, so 600 yards. So I practice, try to practice, especially coming up to shoot, as much as I can. And if I don't get in my own way to shoot, it usually works out pretty good. So
I saw a video recently where you're shooting offhand, and it didn't look like you were a bad shooter, I would say.
We were screwing around. I didn't know he was filming that. And then I was talking with my wife later. He posted it. I was like, oh, shoot. But, yeah, we were just screwing around on the spinner. There's a spinner. If you got to hit him, time it just right. And we were doing it freehand. It was like 220 yards or something. And anyway, I was just, yeah, I was hitting it. It was good. But practice a lot.
So how many, that's a 223 trainer rifle.
Yeah, I shoot a 223 Ackley a lot. And I did the Ackley just because the brass doesn't grow as much. You have to trim. And I reload it so much, it just cuts out some more prep time. So I shoot a 223 Ackley with, I use the Nosler, shoot a lot of the 77 grain or the 70 grain. And they're coming out with an 85 grain. So just a heavy for caliber bullet. It's a high BC bullet. So I can get good long range practice in it. And the barrels last forever, so you're not replacing stuff like if you were shooting a six.
How many rounds do you think a year at 223 are you shooting?
Man, 10,000-15,000 probably, maybe a little more.
just 10,000 or 15,000.
Yeah, well, I used to think I was a shooter.
it's a lot, and I don't know if it'll continue to be that. I feel like I've kind of got into a pretty good groove where I think I could maintain with less, and I want to work on dry fire practice a little bit more and really focus on a few things that I've been working on. But yeah, it's quite a bit. And that's not, I mean, and I shoot six a lot too, doing bow development, and then obviously competing with the six mils. So it's a fair bit of shooting. And that's none of my hunting shooting.
And you're shooting a, what to kind of take us to your setup? You're shooting optics, gun, chassis.
Yeah, last year I shot for Surgeon Rifles, and they were great to me, and a variety of reasons of switching to another company. Where I think we mesh better. It was kind of a past relationship, and they've got some products out there that do really well. So this year I'll be shooting for Curtis Custom Actions. I run the MPA chassis. It's like a Phil's over there. He's really innovative. In that words, I said innovative for Daniel.
He used the word innovative.
Just for you. So he's always working on new products to help, you know, competitive shooters kind of be on the edge. And so I shoot for them, and been running Trigger Tech triggers, obviously the Kala 6-24 with the Skimmer 3 reticle, benchmark barrels, 419 brakes. That's kind of the main setup. I hope I'm not forgetting anything. But those are the companies that have been helping me been able to travel around, because it adds up, you know, traveling around and trying to compete. So it's been a big help having those guys in my corner, and it's been fun. So.
And you shoot a six dasher, you said?
Yeah, I shoot a lot of six dasher, just because it's a little slower than obviously a six Creed or any of the other hot sixes, but barrel life's long. It's just consistent. So
you remember when you told me to get a six Creed, and then you screwed me and went to a six dasher?
I remember that. I was like, you gotta get six Creed, the new brass is gonna be great. And then but I don't know why I had a lot of talked to some guys that love the six Creed. And man, I just had some problems. I think I had a bad reamer looking back, because I've talked to enough guys now that are like, man, you shouldn't have had some of the things that was going on. Shouldn't have been an issue. And I think I've got a bad reamer, because I went through three barrels and it never shot anywhere like my other guns. Like the dasher just hammers, 6XC hammered. I had 6SLR with crappy brass and it shot really good. I won shoots with that. And the Creed just gave me, was just finicky. So
they came out, you shot a Kallus,
yep.
6-24.
Yep.
Now they came out the 3-18. Do you think you're going to try that next year in your competitions?
I am excited about it.
3.5-18, sorry.
3.5-18. I definitely want to run that. I think it's got some of the cool new features we talked about. It's got kind of like an anti-rotating knob kind of on the windage turret. You kind of got to see it, play with it to understand it. It's got some, you know, good turrets. It's nice and compact. I definitely want to try that. And it might be good for me to run a little lower power, bigger field of view, and work on seeing my trace a little better.
Really?
So I'm excited to try that. And kind of go from there. So
you don't think, because you don't think that lower magnification will hurt you at all?
No, because I trained a lot with the 6-24 this year on 18. I actually, there's a, on the 6-24, there's a 15 and I think a 20, and I would always stick it right between that, which is right around that 18 mark. And I shot most this year at that. I will miss the higher power a little bit on some stages, especially for ELR matches. Mm-hmm. But I want to give it a try, because then it forces me to shoot at a lower power. And some of my teammates, Jake Vibbert, he's just moved to Curtis, and he always runs lower power, and I'm kind of experimenting with it. So it's gonna. I won't have the option. So I always find myself cranking it up on some stages. And this will force me to keep it low. I think it'll be a good test of just a good experiment.
I'm not a PRS shooter.
For now.
But I am. I love the 3.5-18 Swarovski.
Yeah, the X5.
Yeah, the X5. I think it's the best long-range scope on the planet for me. And I bust rocks at 2,000, 2,100 yards.
Yeah.
Have no issues. Have zero. Shot the elk last year at 960.
Yeah. A long time ago, I was a kind of a magnification whore for long range for quite a while. And so, you know, you're running 20, 22, 24 power scopes, and even the new ones coming out, you're 30 and 35 power. And so back in the day, I was like, well, you know, what could it take? And I had a 10 power scope, and this was a long time ago, just for hunting stuff. And I put it on an ultra mag, and we set clay pigeons up at 1,000. Then I could quarter, you could see the quarters of a clay pigeon in the reticle at 1,000 yards, and you could shoot those. No problem at all. I don't know. You do not need. I know. I do like power.
Absolutely.
If I have the option, I'll take it. But you don't need it. I mean, we were really effectively shooting clay pigeons 1,000 yards with a 10 power scope. No issues at all. So I don't. You don't have to have it. I think it's going to be good for me to run a little bit lighter, just to, you know, a little bit of discipline myself for really seeing bullet trace because you get a bigger field of view, so you can see the top of the arc of the bullet trace, versus a 24 where you see it leave the field of view and then come back in at the end. You could follow it the whole way, which is really important for shooting because you can watch the trace move left or right depending on what the wind's doing. And you got to see that sometimes because if you don't see where the bullet lands at the target, say there's no backstop, you got to see the trace. You got to follow the bullet all the way there. And the 18 power gives you that field of view that allow you to do that a little better than a 24.
Damn, you might have a future in this.
Yeah. We'll see.
Robin, and we'll bring Robin to this. Rob is no slouch on the shooting side. Yeah. The funny thing about Rob is Rob's more at home with the 1-8 with the 375, and he said he would love to go shoot a BRS match.
Oh, that would be awesome. 375
1-8.
Just wreck some steel. That's a really nightmare. Every stage, ceasefire, we got to tip the targets back up. Rob knocked him over.
I wasn't really serious, but I would do it if they let me.
I think it would be funny.
Rob's like old school, but he is a shooter. Yeah. You've been to a few PRS yourself, haven't you, Rob?
Yep, I have.
What did you use on your matches?
I used my first match that I shot. Well, I actually shot an X5, 3.5-18, because we had just started to move into the handling the Collis brand, and I just didn't have one. So it was 3.5-18, and of course, at my lack of experience in PRS at that level, I wasn't handicapped at all. And did okay, and it was a lot of fun. It's just a blast. You could see how you could get hooked on that real easy, and I shot another match last year, a local match. It was kind of cool up in New Hampshire, but it was a PRS points match, and I had 6-24 for that. And like John said, I'm not too much of a magnification junkie, so that, like, I think that 3.5-18 is just in such a sweet spot for magnification and the size of the scope and the features that are on it. And I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of buzz. I mean, you were on the show floor. That Collis section of the booth was just overrun all day. You know, both
days.
Absolutely. Yeah. So really cool, and. As far as that, and I just shoot 6.5 Creedmoor, so I'm actually, for me, that's cutting edge, but I'm actually behind the curve as far as a PRS. They're like, oh, yeah, that guy, he shoots a 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah, a lot of guys still shoot
Creed. Has that ran back to pretty much all the top shooters are shooting 6mm?
A lot of them. There's 6.5-47 is still very popular because it's so consistent, and I'm actually going to build one this year because... I mean, I shoot a 6-dasher, and it is very consistent. I think a 6.5-47 might be more forgiving, more consistent. So there's definitely some 6.5-47s out there doing very well. But yeah, a lot of sixes, and it just comes down to recoil, spotting your shots, and watching trace. So the less it kicks, the better you can stay on your gun, the better you can see things. So it's easier to shoot a 6 better. Problem with the 6, a little more finicky, so it's a give and take. So
one other thing I've heard lately, and I hate to use the word, but I hear it all the time, the game changers.
Yeah.
And I hear it from the hunting world, and I hear it from the competition world, is the new BTX.
Oh my word.
And you were talking about it today, and you just recently got one.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the difference you can see in trace.
I hate the word game changer because it is
I do hate that
it
word.
It is thrown around pretty loosely, and the word the best and all that stuff, but man, we were practicing the other day, but a couple of buddies were over and we were working on some stuff, and I pulled the thing out and my buddy started shooting. I just told Ryan earlier, I started cracking up laughing, and he's like, what? I was like, dude, just get on this and watch. And we were shooting the 600 yard target, and I've never seen, and like I said, maybe it was a day where you could just see the mirage and the trace, and everything was so clear. I mean, it's hands down the most impressive thing I've ever seen through glass wise. And I've gone on a lot of hunts, and I love the 15 power binos, the 15 power Swaros. I've hunted with those for years and years. And they're great, but this is like 15s on steroids.
Those are Swarovskis.
Swarovskis. There you go. Nailed it again. We're going to burn it in. 29 more times you'll have it. But it's amazing. I love it. It's crystal clear. You can watch the trace. You can feel like you watch the bullet just rotate into the air to the target. You can see the mirage and the grass. And every match I drive to, I'm taking it. People are going to make fun of me, but I'm going to watch. I'm going to spot with that thing and look at mirage before we shoot because it is. It is impressive.
Oh, the one thing that I didn't really, 95 is. amazing.
Yeah.
So I went down to the FTW with Rob invited me down there to check out the BTX, and there was this black buck, and I was out there messing around by myself, and I don't know the actual power. Do you know the 95 power with the BTX?
35
power. Well, I was looking at this black buck, and I was guessing it was around 1,000 yards. So I got the EL ranges out, and it was actually 1,600 yards. But for some reason, using two eyes, it sucks it in closer.
It feels different.
Yeah, I just, you hear it, what people's, you know, the comments that you hear when somebody looks through it, like what you said about watching the trace and all of that stuff. And what you said, I was there when you were looking at the black buck, and I've heard that over and over and over again, and it has to be because you're using both eyes. It's just, you know, your brain is processing that information, and when it comes through both eyes, it's just processing it in a more
The image feels deeper, like more depth of field or something's I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. It's not like the other spotters I've used for years aren't good. It's just, it's just as different. I don't know how to explain it until you see it.
Yeah, you don't, and you can't really tell anybody how it is until they actually see it.
You look through it, my buddy jumped up behind it, and I shot, and he's like, oh, man. And so we were shooting the spinner stage later, where I was freehanded screwing around, and he's like, just a second, and he's adjusting it at 200 yards, like, you can see me hit naked eye. Quit screwing around with that thing. And he's like, it's just too fun. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. So, I mean, we were watching everything with it because it was, you just got to see it. Check it out.
And I don't think people understand the eye fatigue that you get, even through ATX is probably the best spotter on the market.
Yep.
But the eye fatigue that you get with that pirate in it.
Closing that eye,
when you have them both open, it's like there is none. And you can just stare and stare and stare.
All day glassing. You know, I just imagine being an RO at a PRS match, you know, doing the squinty eye all day.
Yep. Have they brought that back to you saying thank you very much for making something that we can see him hit and steal with?
Oh, yeah. This, we just had the last weekend, we were just down in Vegas, or down here for the National Rifle League finale, about 20 miles north of here. And Swarovski sent a bunch of optics for the ROs. And you'd walk up to an RO, a range officer. So a RO runs each stage. And so they're there spotting hits and scoring for the shooters that come by. And so you'd walk up to the ones with the BTX and you'd talk to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, we got this on our stage. And they were every one of them was excited about it. There's, you know, it's a noticeable difference. And that's why I like 15 so much. It's both eyes open, but this is just the next step up. So it's.
I love 15. Yeah. I love 12s and I love 15s.
Yeah, same.
But you throw yourself on a BTX and you're like,
it sucks. Because now I'm like, now I got to carry this thing. I'm like, I'm taking it. I don't care. I'm taking it to the match. Like, before, it's 15 in the pack. First, you start hunting, it's 8s. So I got my little 8s. Then you go to your 10s, and that's no big deal. Then you got your, okay, now I'm carrying 10s and 15s. Then you start carrying a spotter, so now I got 3 pieces of glass. Now I'm carrying a BTX, because I can't leave. I mean,
well, you know,
I'm trying to sound too salesy here, but it is, you gotta check it out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, in 1999, we were making about $1,200 a year.
There you go.
Or $1,200 a month. Tanya wasn't working, and I don't tell her, but I snuck in and bought a pair of 10x42 SLCs.
There you go.
Shh, don't tell her.
I won't say a word. Don't
look, Tanya. I bought a pair of 10x42 SLCs because, and truthfully, I was only hunting probably 10, 15 days a year, but I made one critical mistake. My buddy had a pair.
Yep.
And I believe I was using Nikon Monarchs.
Yeah.
I used his pair of 8x42 SLCs, and boom, I was hooked. His were 7x42 SLCs, actually.
Oh, okay.
Boom, I was hooked.
Yeah, it's.
And that's how it happens. Yeah. That's how you guys sneak up on us.
It is.
Yeah, we usually try to hook them young, but at any any point, it's good. It's still good.
Oh, for me, it wasn't meth. It was Probosky.
That old 742 SLC was an awesome little binocular.
Hey, I recently saw, it is an awesome binocular, that I saw a picture of a 10x56. Are you guys bringing them back to America?
That is, I believe that's a special order item.
Is it?
Yeah.
Somebody had, like outdoorsmen's maybe had them. Huh.
That'd be bright. Jeez.
That would be.
I feel like the 42s are bright.
That would be interesting. The field of view.
It would be crazy.
You think a huge field of view. Yeah. And you know another thing that you do, John, that most PRS guys are hunters.
Yeah.
But you're kind of a next level hunter in the fact the sheep you've hunted and the places you've been, Northwest Territories, Mexico.
Yeah. I've been able to go on some fun ones.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. You hunted sheep on Tiburon, correct?
Yep, a couple times.
you hunted Northwest Territories for sheep and moose, right? No?
I didn't kill a moose. My buddy killed a moose. I got a caribou and a doll sheep.
And then you killed that little tiny bear in Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that. We hunted the Yukon for stones. And we're going to go back to BC for stones in August. So, yeah, it's... sheep hunting's fun. And then I've helped some hunts in Oregon where I've helped hunters. It sucks because once, I guess it's kind of like Swarovski binoculars. Like, once you see them, figure out a way to afford it. And then sheep hunting's like, it's expensive. But once you go, it's like, I don't know, you go help anyone or do whatever. It's just fun to go on those hunts. They're just special hunts. Everyone, I think people treat them different because everyone knows they're special, so I think a little extra effort goes in. So everyone's mentality is different. It just makes for a more fun, you know.
Yeah, he didn't need that.
People are willing to work harder.
And he didn't need the other kidney.
Not really. I mean, I've been fine without it, so.
And Rob, you're no slouch on the hunting side. Kind of go into what you've done. You've been to Africa. You've been all over hunting elk and deer, correct?
Yeah, correct. I've been lucky enough to do that with Swarovski, or representing Swarovski, and you know, I think we talked about that earlier before we put our headsets on, and how much we all like to hunt, and we all like to shoot,
right?
Yeah, and that's where it starts.
Yeah, it really is.
They go hand in hand, and the what you end up realizing is because we shoot and shoot as much as we can. I wish I shot as much as John shot.
I wish I shot as much as John shot.
But you know, you're a better hunter. You know, whether you're shooting long range or not. If you're shooting steel plates at long range under time pressure in compromised odd positions and barricades and natural terrain or man-made terrain, you know, that just makes you better in the field. You know, it's almost like hunter practice.
Yeah.
And then when you take what I guess not too long ago would have been considered a long shot on a game animal. I won't throw a number on it, but it's because everybody's limit is different.
Absolutely.
You know, so long range to one guy is maybe not so long to the next, but. Yeah. You know, it's just the equipment and the practice and the competition and all that kind of ties in with what we love to do anyway already. And, it's cool stuff.
Well, I like Rob is my voice of reason when I talk to Rob. He recently killed a really nice bull. And what magnification did you have on that gun?
Yeah. Well, that was a 3.5 to 18 X5. And
I thought for some reason, did you go 1 to 8 lately?
Oh, that was a different bull.
He's killed so many.
I've lost track of all the bulls I've killed.
No, it really hasn't been that many.
Was that 7 bulls ago or 8?
I thought it was. Yeah.
tell the story about your 1 to 8 and then.
The 1 to 8. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm mixing my story up. You went in with your mighty 308.
Yeah.
Is that the 3 to 18?
Okay, yeah. So that was
mighty.
That was the little 3 to 10 Z3.
There you go. That's what it was. I knew it was lower on the magnification side.
Yep. And it actually had our old ML reticle, and it is a discontinued reticle now. It's basically, you know, a Christmas tree type reticle, but it's simple. It has less lines, and it was originally designed for muzzleloader ballistics.
Right.
And it works out great with like standard cartridges and all that stuff.
They shoot about the same as a muzzleloader.
Let me stress that it is discontinued, so don't
don't look for it.
Please, don't make me have to like beg for it to come out of retirement. But anyway, that was it's nice to match it makes sense to match your rifle scope to your rifle, and that happened to be a super light 308, and so I wanted to put a lightweight scope on it and still have some magnification. 3 to 10 is plenty of magnification for most any hunting situation, unless you're a magnification junkie, and then have at it. You know, scope models for everyone, whatever your flavor is.
I think I'm just trying to emphasize that you tell me you're going to shoot PRS, which with an 18.
Yeah.
Rob, what did you end up shooting your bull at with that 3-10 or 2.5 to? Is it 3.5 or 2.5 to 10?
On the Z3, that was a 3-10.
3-10.
Yeah, and I cranked it up to 10 power.
Cranked it all the way up.
All the way up. Well, and I'll justify that. I did not need 10 power to hit the bull. I needed 10 power to make my my holdovers. It's a second focal plane rifle scope, so my numbers in my head were at max power. So, and I kind of justify that by, well, I'm not going to use holdovers unless it's, you know, the target's a pretty fair distance away, so it makes sense to just crank it up and not worry about a calculation for 8 power or 6 power or whatever.
Yep.
You know, just crank it up, and then I knew what my drops were, what my values were on my holdover bars, and that's how it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that... anytime you get to where people think they need a 24 power for anything under 1,000 yards, they're crazy.
Yeah.
18 power is plenty.
Yeah, people equate bigger powers with being able to shoot further.
Exactly.
Couldn't be further from the
exactly. Field. Yeah, and the original question I thought when we got the bulls confused was the time I was carrying the X5 and I shot the bull on 3.5 power.
How far?
It was 178 yards. I can honestly say I would not have gotten that bull if I was cranked up on magnification, because I had a split second to take the shot, and if I didn't have the field of view that you have on low magnification, I probably wouldn't have had the, you know, I just, you well, could second guess yourself 100 absolutely. Times, but the way it happened, I didn't give it a second thought, didn't... I knew I was on low power because, you know, when you're hiking around and stuff, it just makes sense to be on your low magnification so you're ready. You're ready for any situation, not just a long situation.
Yeah, and I think some people confuse that if you're carrying a 3-18 with that big turn on, for some reason you have to shoot long range.
Yeah.
And the fact is, where I hunt, I would do 75% of my hunting in North Idaho or Northwest Montana, and it's close quarters combat for half that hunting. So being able to go from a 3.5 zoom to a 18 power zoom is not only awesome, it's you need that.
Yeah.
Because I'm either shooting 100 yards or I'm shooting it across to a clear cut canyon to canyon, 500 plus yards.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. Rob, I'm going to make you put on your Swarovski sales pants here.
Swarovski
pants on. What? Me and John... aside, we could use, we're at a point in our lives, we could use any binoculars that we want. I see all the binoculars out there. Yeah, we both come back and make the same conclusion that we think, and I'm going to use the word best, we think Swarovski is the best, and I'm saying, John, you do think.
Yeah, I have a relationship with Rob in regards to being a sponsored shooter, but I had Swarovski well before that.
Yes.
I had my own ATS 65, that I bought, my 10s, I had 15s, Yeah.
Right. I had five
nothing
pairs
to do with sponsorship.
Absolutely. I had five pairs of Swarovskis before I even knew. I even started Rockslide. Yeah. So I wasn't. What makes you guys the best? What's that magic formula that you guys have?
It's just a combination of everything. It's from, the engineering and the materials and the construction of it. There's just no compromise. If you want to be the best, you can't compromise.
Yeah.
As soon as you compromise, you run the risk of not being the best.
What I do like about Swarovski is they have not compromised their values and made what I considered a bastard line.
Yeah.
They make the best. The CLs are out there, and you do have new CLs this
new
year.
CL. Yeah, the new CL. Check that out.
They rival some of the best other brand optics out there.
Yep.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. I think that is, you don't devalue your product. You guys are the best. You know you're the best, and you put your best foot forward every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the company philosophy, to improve what is already good.
So what's the future with the Callus guys? How the hell you say
Callus.
I cannot remember this. I keep saying Callus.
Callus.
I keep saying Swarovski wrong.
Everybody knows what you're talking about. We're just giving you our time.
I went to school in Idaho. All right?
That makes sense.
We can't even spell rock slide right.
I can see.
Don't worry about how I say it. Just know that I love it. So what's the future with the shooting teams? What's the future with you guys in the PRS and the NRL?
Well, you know, the it has been a very, very hectic and rewarding. You know, it's you always have to. We joke about this all the time. When something really, really goofy happens, I say, "Well, you have to find the silver lining in it, whatever it is."
Right.
And you know, if you look at it that way, that gets you through a lot of stuff. But we hit it pretty hard, 2017. Mm-hmm. You know, John can attest to that. Yeah. As far as building the teams and you know, where Collis came from previously, you know, they had already established relationships. So there was some of that was just keeping with what had already been done and then adding to it. So my hat is off to the folks that came before me. I'm appreciative of that. And so we've worked with, we've got our shooters and that's, it's actually been a pretty massive learning curve because we've never done anything sponsorship wise on this scale ever, you know, in the history of both companies. So, you know, in some cases we learn as we go and we try to do the right thing and have the right people, you know, work with the right people. That's very important. That's very important because we have a company, both companies, you know, have a philosophy and, it's kind of like the product, you know, it's not something that we want to compromise. So we work hard at that and we have some really good people, you know, and John is cream of the crop, which it's an honor and a pleasure to work with John. And same for you, Ryan. You know, Rock Slide is just awesome. I mean, we really appreciate what you do. We love working with you. So, and I guess where I was going with that is having that approach or that attitude towards what we're doing. You know, we're working towards. We've built the teams and we've sponsored quite a few matches, but I look forward to working more. The first year there was a lot of building, mm-hmm. and the second year I like to do a lot more finish work. Kind of use a carpenter analogy, I guess. But you know, there's a lot. You know, John and I had quite a few conversations on the phone and whenever we could, and you know, it's kind of like, hey, John, all right. Yeah. I'll call you on my ride home, so like we don't get interrupted 10 times, you know, while I'm in the office and things like that. So yeah. I know sometimes that might have been a little hard to get a hold of.
No, but great to work with. That's I love working with him.
So I look forward this season. You know, you asked about the future of the PRS and of what we're doing. I just look forward to having more time to work with the folks that we have on our team, and also the not only the shooters, the match directors, and sometimes they're one and the same. You know, the mm-hmm. Match directors are shooters. They just may not be shooting the match that they're directing.
Right,
yeah. Actually, we know they're not shooting the match they're directing, but yeah. just being able to spend more time with that and maybe even a little bit on the selfish side, I'd like to get out there and shoot more matches.
Absolutely, you're already
spend
there.
Spend more time in the field with the shooters and less time behind my desk.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't say that to Dean. On my side, Rock side, the Swarovski is easy to sell. Swarovski is the easiest sell for me, and you can tell in the fact of how many times it's typed into Rock Slide a day.
Yeah.
So that's no issues there. I don't know. They're just easy optics to sell. John, I want to put you on the spot a little bit. Yeah. What's the difference between in PRS?
Yeah.
What's the difference between a great shooter and an average shooter, or what's the difference between a good shooter and a great shooter? And don't tell me luck. Don't be humble. No, do you do different?
I mean, it comes down to a lot of us. I mean, I think a lot of us, honestly, grew up, you know, like we talked about earlier, hunting, a little redneck in you, where you can quickly acquire a target. You know how to handle a gun, so you're quick with that. And then I don't know if you can just be good old-fashioned work. I don't know that I'm the best shooter, but I do work hard, and I still have issues at matches, but then I've also won a handful of them. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot of guys that don't ever win a match, and I work hard when I practice. I try to make sure I'm practice, not just shooting. I'm practicing. I'm focusing. Mm-hmm. I'm making, you know, practicing well. And man, I think just doing it.
Just doing it every day, trying to be consistent and burning out some barrels.
Yeah, burning some barrels. And it's not every day. I mean, that's a little exaggeration. Coming up to a big shoot, it'll be most days. But I shoot a lot. But it's, you can't beat time behind a gun. You watch a lot of bullets go. You shoot a lot of different positions. And you kind of figure stuff out. You can't beat that. So there's that. There's also, and that's probably the biggest thing I'm working on right now, is I've shot a lot. And now I'm trying to, like, the whole sports psychology side of the things is really interesting to me.
Mental side?
The mental side is is so big, and I've been reading books that have nothing to do with shooting or hunting or anything, but more of the, you know, the mental side of things. And I think that's huge, the way, whether it's football or businessmen or any other,
right,
anything anybody's in, it's a difficult situation or stressful situation where you have to perform on the spot. Like, it's really interesting the way the brain works and stuff. And so that's becoming a lot more interesting to me lately. I think that's probably the thing that's holding me back the most is my mental game. I've done things in the past where I knew I was going to do them well, and I want to get that to where I know, like, okay, coming in here, I'm confident. You know, that's my mental game. I'd say it's not weak, but it could definitely use some improvement.
So it's kind of like the visualization.
There's a ton of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, there's visualize. There's a lot of cheesy stuff, and sometimes when you're reading, like, okay, this is like flu stuff or whatever. But I mean, it's brains are crazy. Brains do a lot of. it's insane, and I think some of it might sound cheesy, but I wouldn't discount it too much. There's a lot of. I mean, you listen to top sports guys, quarterbacks, and different. You guys that pitch, and bottom of the ninth, there's so much pressure, and you've got to, you know, maintain the pitch or the throw or a presentation or whatever you're doing in life is, I don't know, I'm really interested in that. So, yeah, you can practice a lot, but if you don't have your mental game down, I don't know, you're not going to be consistent. And that's what I'm kind of changing my gears a little bit more to that side of things right now.
Well, I appreciate that, because I thought you could say, I just need to practice more. So yeah. I appreciate you expanding.
I think you can shoot too much. And I actually have got there. I actually, after this last, the PRS finale in December, I think I was getting maybe some bad habits of just shooting almost too much. And instead of shooting, going up and thinking I need to crank rounds, it's like, hey, if you break 20 good shots, you put your gun away and go in and hang out with the family. To me, I had some really good practice days where I shot 30 rounds. And better than the days where I shot 300 or 400. And so I'm just learning. I mean, I'm still pretty new to the competition side. You know, this is my second full year. And
you hit the ground running.
Yeah. And, I'm competitive. I love it. And but I'm kind of changing the way I think. I'm refining all the time. So I don't know. It's always changing. But
I shot a stick bows a lot. And I'm sure competitive rifle is some days you just need to stop shooting.
Absolutely.
Because you're not going to get better that day.
Man, I went up the other day. I couldn't hit any. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I thought my gun was broke. What is wrong with me?
Just blame the scope.
Yeah. You got to blame something else. It can't be you.
It can't be the shooter.
It can't be you.
Well, I would just also say that me and you grew up hunting. He grew up in the mob.
Yeah. And shooting people's cool too. I mean,
shooting.
Yeah,
shooting. Yeah, and his was high stress.
Way more high stress. So I need his mental game. And
I've seen Heat. I've seen the movie Heat.
Yeah, we all know how it goes down.
Hey, with a name like Lancelot, it's not getting off easy. Hey, well, I appreciate both you guys coming on. I know this isn't exactly simple and fun at the SHOT Show.
Thanks for having us. This is cool. Actually, this is fun.
It's good, relaxing.
This is fun.
Yes. It is, and I will double check with both of you before I air it to make sure there's no skeletons coming out of the closet. We know Rob has a few with his mafia days.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.